Hi, and welcome to the Joyful Balance podcast. You're here with your two co-hosts. I'm Mira. I'm a nutritionist with a background in neuroscience and psychology, helping people with all sorts of mental health conditions and focus and memory issues achieve better brain health through nutrition and lifestyle changes. I'm sitting here with my wonderful co-host, Denise. Denise is a cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist, helping her clients achieve better sleep and better lifestyle practices in order to live happier and healthier life. To all about stress. Denise, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I was trying to create a
Oh.
background for woo, stress. Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I am not stressed at the minute. Are you? Do you feel like you might be stressed,
Oh,
Mira?
am I? No, not particularly. No, which is. I mean, I always joke that I'm an anxious Annie, which is actually true, but at the moment, no, I find it strangely therapy, well, not strangely, I suppose, but very therapeutic doing these episodes with you, so I don't feel stressed at all.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Thank you. Yes, so stress. We are going to tell you a little bit more about what it is and what happens when you get stressed. I mean, obviously, we all live in this society and we all have our relationship with stress. Some have a healthy relationship with it and some not so healthy. So we're just trying to bring a little bit more awareness about stress and particularly workplace stress. And then, as per the usual, towards the end of the episode, we are going to leave you with some tips, tricks, practices that you can engage in order to better cope with stress and better manage your stress levels. Now, before we get into the good part of the episode, so to say, I just wanted to start by saying that stress is your body's reaction to feeling a threat or feeling under pressure, or feeling demand from the workplace. And before we go down the route of stress and our autonomic nervous system and what happens in our bodies and things like that, I just wanted to point out this maybe unknown fact is that stress can be real in the sense somebody's chasing you or a deadline at work. But stress can also be something you think about and you imagine. So the stimuli doesn't have to be real in order for your body to have the same stress response. And I think a lot of people, when they have what I call the washing machine of thoughts, they stress themselves out, not necessarily for something real, but it's more what is in their imagination, in their mind at that moment in time. However, for our body, the stress response is exactly the same. And I just wanted to put a lot of emphasis on this. So our response to stress can be triggered by real or even imaginary stimuli. And these can be mental, physical, emotional. It doesn't have to be a real life or death situation to increase your stress level. Your nervous system will perceive it the same way every time.
Yeah, that's a really important point, actually. And I think that's something that is very easily not taken for granted, but almost forgotten about. I think we're very, I think that's a
Well,
really important point that you bring up because I think we're often very hard on ourselves and kind of thinking, well, if the stress is not real, then I quote unquote shouldn't be getting stressed about it. And it's not so much about what did or didn't happen, it's more about how it made you, how that event or that how that situation makes you feel. That's actually what's very important to hold on to. Because as Denise said, whether or not the thing that you are most worried about or quote unquote stressed about, whether that actually ended up happening or not, is slightly immaterial to you feeling that internal sense of threat. Because essentially, whether, you know, back when this stress response was created by evolution or whatever, yes, it was designed to help us stay alert and be able to respond to a threat. Now, we have basically when we were, if you talk back evolutionary, and you always hear this example, whenever you start to talk about the stress response, you kind of say, oh, okay, well, when we came across a saber-toothed tiger or, I don't know, a woolly mammoth, or whatever, any kind of threat, we would then see changes to our hormones. In particularly, there would be a cascade of release of adrenaline and cortisol and noradrenaline. And what these all do is basically stimulate your body to kind of fight or freeze or run away from the stressor. So you either try and fight your way out of the stressful situation, as in defend yourself, or some people do freeze, and that's a normal response. So if that has ever happened to you, please don't feel badly about that, where you kind of just go very still. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the flight, which is when you flee that situation, whatever that may be. And, you know, to be honest, even when you see these stress these hormone levels rise, because what they do is they divert blood away from your what they decide are less necessary organs to receive a lot of blood. So, for example, your digestive system, which is why you can feel quite sick when you are stressed out and anxious. But you also see that, you know, your heart rate increases because your body's trying to pump more blood, and it goes more to the extremities, to your muscles, to really help you start to fight, flight, or freeze. Now you can stay in that kind of response for at least 20 to 30 minutes after that threat is gone. So for example, if you're having a panic attack, or if you are experiencing acute anxiety, it takes a while for that to calm down. And I've heard, I haven't looked at the studies on this, but that it can take several days for that adrenaline to really, really wear off. Mm. And these events will leave an imprint on your brain and your body, and as a result, it can start to influence how we feel on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis. And the last thing I kind of want to say about stress is that, and we're going to maybe talk about this a bit in a bit, is that whilst, you know, they are very useful in the short term, when you are constantly stressed out or struggling with ever mounting life pressures, and in 2024 it's not easing up, it is getting harder, when you're constantly in that state of fight or flight, what you're doing is then you're constantly affecting how your body deals with day-to-day life. So for example, cortisol can really influence your blood sugar regulation, because what it will do is that will encourage more glucose, more sugar to be released into your body from your cells in order so that you can burn through that in order to deal with the stress, because it thinks that it's trying to fight for survival. But as a result, you know, your blood sugar levels are dipping. You know, it's having the rebound effect of actually raising your cortisol and your adrenaline levels, causing more anxiety, and you're in this like constantly vicious cycle of just constantly feeling worse and worse and things getting worse and worse. And also it can, you know, have massive long-term impacts on your immune system, as a result cause inflammation. It can, you know, also your body uses masses of vitamin C and B vitamins when you are really stressed out. So it means that your requirement for these nutrients really goes up. It puts you at more risk for gastrointestinal issues. Long-term stress has been shown in multiple studies to influence things like developing chronic fatigue and depression, cardiovascular disease. The list goes, issues with managing your blood sugar levels, increase of weight gain, particularly around the midsection, which is very, very damaging for our metabolic health. And it just really negatively impacts your quality of life, essentially. So it's not even just the physical effects of health, of stress. There's a huge mental component to it as well. None of this is to scare you. We're not here to scaremonger. We're actually saying, hey, this is a serious issue and we need to find ways. And a big of helping you manage this. And this makes up a big part of Denise's and I's job, is to find strategies within our own areas of expertise to really help you manage that.
100% stress is just, it's never going away. And I think as soon as we open our minds and we realize that we can easily stress ourselves out, in inverted commas, that can actually happen. We can do it to ourselves. The beauty of it is that whilst we have this beautiful thing called the autonomic nervous system that Mira was pointing towards, it has two branches, the sympathetic side, which is what we were just talking about in terms of your stress response, but it also has the parasympathetic side. And that is what I like to call the inbuilt relaxation system. I would like you to think about this as it's either on or off. It's either fighting for dear life or is relaxing. That is how our nervous system somehow work. So obviously, if you have a short-term stress, like an exam is coming up or you plan a wedding, you know, it's a short-term, it's here, you work at your best to get to that particular event, and then it passes and you're back into your parasympathetic way of living, which is more relaxed, which means that your functions are all equally addressed. Your, you know, what Mira was just saying, your digestion, your endocrine system, everything comes back online and everything comes back into more of a balanced way versus staying in this chronic stress where, as Mira was brilliantly pointing out, your digestion is just not on your body's radar. And a lot of people who spend their life in a high level of stress or in chronic stress, as we call it, they would see big changes in their weight, either losing or gaining weight. And that is because of this. Because when you are, let's say, fighting or fleeing from the saber-toothed tiger, it's not important to make sure you go to the loo. It's not important you digest last night's dinner. That's how our body functions. It's like, we need to keep you alive. Therefore, everything else that doesn't fulfill that particular role immediately, it's disregarded. And of course, if you stay in stress for 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, chronic stress, I mean, in a high level of stress, your digestive system still kind of works. But that's the thing, it kind of works. It doesn't work at its optimum, and it doesn't work as it can best work. And that is where I wanted to draw the attention, because a little bit of a side note, when I was trying to decide which way I want to specialize, I was thinking about weight and weight loss, weight gain, and fluctuations with weight and how I can help patients with that. And that's where this whole element of stress became very, very crucial. And I was, you know, my eyes were being opened to what increased levels of cortisol actually does to the body. And I didn't know that before. So I just wanted to share that with everyone listening, and to know that being in a high stressful situation or living what we call in chronic stress, it's really detrimental for long term. It can lead to all of the health issues that Mira was pointing out, and also leads to burnout.
Absolutely. And just to follow on from that, I think one thing that I wanted to draw attention to is, you know, is the fact that even though you have this acceleration system, which is basically, as Denise said, it's paradoxically called your sympathetic nervous system, because you think your sympathetic nervous system would calm you down. No, it's the one that amps you up. You have a brake system, and that's the parasympathetic nervous system. So that essentially just slows that whole response down. And there are ways that you can activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which I think Denise is itching to talk about.
we're gonna leave those at the end, because I think
absolutely
so much to say on those positives.
Totally. But it's just to say that you do have an accelerator, but you also have the brake. And so a big part of Denise and I's work is to show you the ways that you can press the brake on the stress. Now, to some extent, we're not going to be able to change the stresses that are in your life. Work will be work. Family will be family. Friends will be friends. Life will be life. But there are ways that we can help basically build your resilience to the stresses. And one thing I do want to say before we go on to all the changes is, or before we kind of go further on, is like, it's a multidisciplinary approach. It's not going to be one thing that fixes this for you, that quote unquote fixes this for you. There is no magic pill, cream, lotion, or potion that is going to do this for you. It is an attack from all sides, so to speak. And that means sleep, diet, lifestyle, and everything in between.
Yeah.
Before we jump into this, because that's why we brought this episode to you this month and in general, because we want to share some of the tips and some of the things that are literally at your fingertips and you can deploy them today, tomorrow, every day to quote unquote tap into the inbuilt relaxation system that we all have. I just wanted to say that if at any point these are your signs, the ones that I'm going to list, please make sure you listen to those signs, make sure you check in with yourself and take some action. So signs such as experiencing insomnia or sleep disorders, meaning sleeping too much or too little, mood swings, having little to no energy, eating either too much or too little, pulling away from your usual activity, procrastinating more than you normally do, because we all do a little bit of procrastination. You're experiencing libido changes, or your worrying thoughts are off the rails. Now, that's one side of thing, but you can also experience physical aches and pains, digestive issues. You can see more from your cognitive side, memory problems, concentration issues. All of these things, if any of them feel like, I haven't had this before, or this is new, or I don't normally get many issues with my digestive system, please listen to those signs. As I mentioned in a previous episode, you don't get medals for suffering in silence. So please listen to the signs and don't wait to listen to them when they are so obvious that something is wrong. Take the time to check in with yourself and just make sure that the way you are coping with the stress of everyday life is not hindering your health at this moment in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, from sort of personal experience, I think sometimes we have to give the illusion that everything's fine, I'm going to carry on. And as from personal experience, just on a personal level, like, I can understand that completely. But at some point, the proverbial beep will hit the fan and you won't be able to outrun it forever, because that response was never meant to stay in place forever. You will unconsciously hit a wall, and actually, as frightening as it is to think, oh God, well, you know, what is it going to be like to kind of recognize that I take a break or just give myself some time, actually it ends up being one of the best things you can do for your health. So whatever you think is worth it to continue, it's really not. And actually, even though as frightening as it is to acknowledge that there is an issue and to take action, as frightening as that first step is, once you kind of get out of that comfort zone, you end up being in a much, much better place.
Yeah. I like the analogy of our stress response or our nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, as a, you know, when you're running an engine with no oil, you can only run it for a very short period of time with no oil, because otherwise, when there's no oil in a car's engine, it doesn't run. as simple as.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to point that analogy when I was first learning about all of this, that was the analogy that stuck with me. It was like, oh, of course it doesn't run. And it's basically the same. It's very okay for a very short period of time, as we said, before an exam, before a big event, before a wedding, before an interview. It's good to be in that slightly stressful situation because all the creative juices are flowing. But that is the thing. It's on a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Then it needs to come back to its normal, like, modus operandi, right? It cannot stay on because the body just starts to not be able to cope with it. It's just too much. It's overheating the system. I don't know how else to put it. I'm trying to ring the alarm for a lot of people who think that there's some sort of medal given at the end of a very stressful corporate job. No, there isn't.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's also thinking about quality of life, right? So I suppose a way to look at it is, okay, let's say you are in a corporate job, just for argument's sake, right? And there's nothing wrong with corporate work.
No.
I know plenty of people who are very happy there. I unfortunately was not one of them. But let's say you are, and your job is extremely demanding, and if it's not giving, it might be, for example, paying decently, but it's giving you zero quality of life. Like, that's just something to really, really think about, is that high stress doesn't give you quality of life. Like, and it's just something that you have to bear in mind. And so, you know, I think something that a theme that runs throughout the episodes, a theme that runs throughout my life really, is this idea of conscious awareness. And that's a lot of what Denise try and bring to you, is this sense of, okay, whatever you're doing, do so with conscious awareness of the kind of consequences, good or bad, of that action, right? Like, for me, just to flip, just so that we're not being super negative, well, not that we're not being negative, no, but as in just to add some balance. You know, I've talked many times about the fact that I don't enjoy going to the gym, but I know that the long-term benefits to my anxiety are noticeable. And I just constantly tell myself, okay, well, the good thing is that I'm building lots of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, as we know I love to talk about on this podcast, which helps me to grow and strengthen the connections between my nerve cells, right? Which is good for learning and memory. It's good for mood. It's good for so many things. So it's just about raising conscious awareness. Sometimes you are going to be able to apply the brakes, and it's about making sure that you recognize the signs of burnout and that you can deal with it before you really get to the point where your engine just completely cuts out.
Yeah. I just wanted to add something here. I was talking to a fellow professional, a psychologist, and a friend of mine, and she was saying, oh, you know what, lately I'm not as detail oriented as before. I did such a mistake with this particular, she's going through further education, and I did such a mistake with something so tiny, I second guessed myself and I didn't put it in the writing. But then when I looked back at it, of course I should have put it in my answer and things like that. And she was just saying about her attention to detail being diminished. That's what she was saying to me. And what I said to her, I said, well, are you okay? And she was like, yes, of course. You know, life is busy, blee, 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 blah, blah, blah. Life moves on. I'm okay. I'm happy. You know, the family's okay. And I just said, well, have you thought about burnout? And the moment I said those words, instantaneously in her voice, she was like, oh, yeah. And it wasn't because she was burnt out. No, no, no. Because she was thinking, oh, if I continue at this high level of everything running, I'm cooking on 3,000 stoves, ooh, I might be going there.
And her lack of attention to detail was her, you know, like alarm. She's not burnt out.
Yeah, it was her signal. Yeah.
Yes, she's not burnt out. She's okay. She's able to take a break. The reason why I'm saying this story is that it doesn't have to be negative in that sense. It doesn't have to be such a demanding job that you are completely drained from and stressed. And it's just that sometimes you get a little bell that just says, things are overheating in here. And that is your time to say, okay, you know what? I might take a break now. Let me go for a walk. Let me take some breathing exercises. Let me do some mindfulness. Let me focus on my eating behaviors and stop eating the pre-packed food that I normally shove in the microwave when I come back home. Those kinds of things. So that's what I just want everyone to be able to know and to pick up on this fine little detail that tells them something is not right. Because you're absolutely right, Mira. There are so many people living corporate jobs and they love them and they are fulfilled by them and they are happy in happy places. I have spent most of my life in corporate and I had beautiful places to work and I had beautiful co-workers, but I've also experienced it on the other end where it wasn't so pleasurable.
Yeah, and that can happen in corporate jobs, it can happen in non-corporate jobs, it can happen at any job. Yeah,
literally it can be anywhere.
It's just that the corporate is the particular stereotype that's thrown out there in these sort of situations. But I think one thing that we'll leave it with, just because I also want this podcast to be very destigmatizing, like, you know, and I'm going to hold my hands up and say I've definitely been burning the candle at both ends and it has bitten me on the backside, to say the least. And and I'm like, and I've sort of been in the situation that your friend is in where they've made mistakes that they maybe wouldn't have made if they weren't, as you quite eloquently and very powerfully said, cooking on 3,000 stoves, which is exactly what I've been doing. And so actually, you know, me realizing that actually this is now diminishing my quality of life to a point that I'm not very happy about it. So I was like, okay, like we're gonna cook on a few less stoves here and make this a little bit more manageable and enjoy things rather than constantly running on like 25% fuel, which, or 25% oil, as it were, like. It's not really worth it. So I've definitely dialed back certain commitments. It's given me time to do the things that I enjoy, for example, this podcast. And just take some time to think about, okay, what is it that's going to give me the quality of life that I'm really happy with? And I'm like really looking forward to having some time back to myself for sure.
And that's, I applaud you for doing that and for being so self-aware to know that you need some time off and things, because it's very easy to sit here and say these things. It's very difficult to sometimes take the needed steps that you need in everyday life. So I applaud you for that. And following up from your candid sharing, I too met burnout. It stared me in the face. I will never forget it. I was on a plane trying to go from a place to another place. And my mind was thinking one thing. And my vocal cords were literally saying something completely different. I cannot remember what I was trying to say. But to give everyone the example, it's as if in my head I was thinking, ooh, bananas would be great. But my mouth was saying, what about the pineapples? It was such a huge disconnect that I completely didn't know how to react. And that was the moment when I realized, oh, crap. Excuse my French. It is here. Whatever my mind was dictating to my mouth to say, my mouth was not saying it. And I was just completely thrown aback and I didn't know how to react. And that was my alarm bell. But unfortunately, my alarm bell was too late.
Yeah.
Because I didn't listen to the previous alarms. So if you take something from my little story here, is please start to listen to your alarms. Just make sure that you're checking in with yourself.
Yeah, totally.
So how can you manage stress in the workplace in a more healthy way? I will start by saying, take regular breaks.
Oh, God. Plan ahead. What? Breaks? What are those? Huh?
So take regular breaks, step away from your desk or from your place of work just for a few minutes. Take a cup of tea, take a cup of juice, whatever it is, but go a little bit away from that place where you work and come back in. Just a few minutes. It doesn't have to be an hour. Just a few minutes regularly. I think there are very many studies talking about how many minutes we can be engaged and how many minutes we can be disengaged. And there is the rule of 20-20-20. There are many ways to do this. I don't want to be prescriptive, so I would just say take as many regular breaks as you can and plan ahead. Planning ahead makes it less overwhelming. So planning is in our natures as humans. Make plans, non-work related plans. Make plans to see a friend, make plans to go to the movies, make plans to date yourself on the walk on Saturday. Doesn't matter what it is, but just make plan that will bring you joy.
Yeah.
So take regular breaks. Make a plan. Now I'm going to hand you over to Mira to say, what can we do from a food and drink point of view?
Oh, so from a food and drink point of view, it's do anything that is going to help manage inflammation. So a very big consequence of stress is that it causes your inflammation, which is if when you imagine a redness or and pain and swelling that you get with a burn or a cut, that's happening on the inside at a slightly less aggressive level but constant when you are stressed. And inflammation can certainly has been linked to memory and mood disorders aplenty. So it's including things like having a really anti-inflammatory diet. So the Mediterranean diet is one such diet that is very good at helping with managing inflammation. Seek professional advice when it comes to that as well. But it will include having things like lots of oily fish that are high in omega-3s because they're very anti-inflammatory, having a diet that's rich in fruit and vegetables, and classic relates to our last episode, but low sugar diet is very, very important for managing inflammation and managing chronic stress. Because if your stress, if your sugar goes up, your intake goes up, it causes a blood sugar roller coaster. When you're on the downwards trajectory of that, it causes really bad anxiety and it's not a fun time. And it will actually cause your cortisol levels to go back up and it will contribute to stress-induced weight gain and all those things. So it's really, really important to keep your sugar levels down, particularly when you are stressed. If your guts are in a bit of a state, just make sure you're having things like probiotic supplementation can be really helpful. Any like foods that are just a little bit easier on the stomach. So nothing too rich, spicy, for example, just keeping it really, really simple with foods that you find that you can digest. But if you're finding that you're limited to a very few number of foods, definitely seek professional help from a dietitian or a registered nutritionist or nutritional therapist who can help you with addressing the connection highway between your gut and your brain so that you are activating that less to an extent that it's not causing you digestive upsets. So another thing that I really want to say is eat regularly. So just keep your energy levels stable. It will help you deal with stress a lot more effectively. And also make sure that you stay well hydrated as well. That's massively important to managing anxiety, managing fatigue, and all those things. So just stay hydrated with ideally, non-caffeinated teas. Do include some citrus in your or fruits in your water if that's going to help you drink more water. Consider sparkling water, all the usual water tricks to try and up your fluid intake. Just minimally processed diet as much as you possibly can, but lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, lots of fiber, lots of anti-inflammatory foods, and then, but just go easy and stick with what you feel you can achieve. Don't stress yourself out by thinking I have to do this from day one. Just make it as easy as possible. So start with a meal, start with a food, whatever helps, whatever it will get you to move the needle 1%, and keep moving it 1% a time, and then keep going, because eventually you will reach 100%. And actually, a really important, and I must find this post to repost on Instagram, but I one thing I did want to say that kind of leave it on is a quote that I found that I thought was amazing, which is like, if you only had 40% to give and you gave 40%, then actually you gave 100.
Yeah.
So I thought this was such a brilliant quote, and I'd never thought about it that way before, but it's actually so true that if that's what you have to give for the day, that is enough. 100%, because yeah, it is your full effort.
Yeah. 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 I would like to add a couple more tips in here. The first one would be, actually, before I give you my two tips, I wanted to say something because I forgot to mention it earlier. And that is, if you are not aware, stress is directly linked to flare-ups on your skin. So if you are somebody who struggles with eczema or psoriasis or other such conditions, dermatological conditions, I would highly recommend you speak to your doctor, your nurse, about it when you are going through levels of stress, because naturally there is a flare-up. Stress is definitely impacting how your skin reacts.
Totally. There is definitely, like, I think it's called like the gut brain skin axis. There is definitely an axis where
HPA, I think it is.
No, that's the gut brain axis. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis that links to the gut brain axis, and it will affect, and basically your gut, your skin is a reflection of what's happening on the inside of your of your body. So absolutely, yeah, skin flare-ups are hugely linked to psychological states of distress. So absolutely. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, in case you are not aware, I know a lot of people who are very aware of this because they've been, for example, struggling with eczema their whole life. But if somebody has started having it later in life, they don't know exactly about it or what is causing it. And I just wanted them to pay attention to when they're going through a more stressful period in their lives. Right. So what to do, from my point of view, good sleep habits. I would like to focus your attention on your sleep. So look at your habits and your regimes. How is your routine looking like? How are you unwinding at the end of the day? Is it a bubble bath? Is it reading a book? Is it watching something, I don't know, crime, true crime or mystery? I'm not
which
recommending.
Almost feels that, like, yeah.
But some people have that as part of their routine. So I just wanted you to look at your sleep, because sleep is your way of signaling to your body and mind that this is now time to rest and recover. This taps again into your parasympathetic nervous system. And it's definitely something you can look at right away tonight in order to make sure that you're sleeping to the best that you can sleep.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit of an overlap. So how can you tap into the parasympathetic nervous system? Deep breathing. You might have heard like belly breathing or diaphragmal breathing, taking those very conscious deep breaths actually helps tap into that rest and digest, as the parasympathetic is called sometimes. And that is easy to do in whatever situation. Well, obviously, and not someone's chasing you.
May I add to that? So there's a couple of, there's more than a couple of different breathing techniques, but one that I've personally found very effective is when you have a longer out breath compared to your in breath.
Yes.
So basically where you breathe out for longer than you have breathed in. So what I tend to do if I'm feeling very anxious and basically having an anxiety attack, and it genuinely does work, and is to breathe in for four, like hold for 2 to 4, whatever I decide, and then breathe out for six. And I do genuinely find it's almost like, it sounds a really weird thing to say, but it's almost like a massage for my vagus nerve to just calm the F down. And it does really help.
There are many, you are absolutely right, there are many breathing techniques. The one that I tend to recommend is very similar. I call it a 3-6-9. You breathe in for three, hold it for six, release it for nine seconds. But the release is not the release is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's as if you imagine your mouth becomes a little tiny valve, and you just let the lungs do what they do best. Breathe.
Yeah, like so you literally breathe as if you're breathing through a straw.
Exactly, and you're not forcing it. You're not trying to do an out breath like that's not going to solve anything in that particular moment. And again, there are many breathing techniques. If you're new to this, just put it in YouTube. You will find 1,001, and I'm sure one of them is going to work for you. You can try the ones we've just mentioned, or you can try what we call box breathing, which is 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out. There's another tip.
Yeah, as if you were drawing a box. Yeah,
exactly. Sometimes I ask my clients to draw the box because that also allows them to take a pause from their thoughts.
Yeah.
But if you're not struggling with your thoughts, you can just do the breath.
And honestly, struggling with thoughts is a good one, I think, to talk about, because I do find that, you know, when I'm very, very stressed or in periods of feeling really acutely stressed, you can, are unable to, it becomes like a vicious cycle where you just basically get worse and worse and worse. And so taking yourself out of your thoughts is very, very important. So sometimes healthy distractions, or even if it's not healthy, it's not an unhealthy distraction, it's a neutral distraction, can be a really good thing to implement. One thing I find really helpful, and actually a very important way of reducing stress, is social connections.
Yes.
Ring a friend and say, hey, like, I feel stressed. I need to relax. I'm pretty sure you will find someone in your phone book who's like, let's hang out. Or why don't you tell me about some random true crime thriller that you've watched on TV recently? Like, social connection is so important for managing stress and regulating your sympathetic nervous system and calming down. So ring a friend.
Yeah. I was going to go down the route of challenging your thoughts as well. I'm not going to lie. And you are absolutely right. Looking for connection and receiving the connection. I think it was somebody famous that said, I need your 8 minutes or something like that, because they've done some studies. I think it was Simon Sinek, the marketeer. Anyway, I don't know who it was. I will try to remember. If I can, I will put it in the show notes. But what the message was, that you definitely have somebody in your life that will be willing to give you 8 minutes of their time. And the 8 minutes was linked to this research, in the sense that they can actually help you feel better in those 8 minutes, because either they take your mind away from the thing, or they remind you of just how lovely and great and amazing person you are, or something else happens in those 8 minutes. So yes, definitely seek connection. And yes,
I just wanted to say, like, just to show how powerful distractions can be and social connections can be, I've got a story for you that I never thought I would. Well, I didn't think I wouldn't share, but I'll share it anyway. I had a really bad anxiety attack a few weeks ago, like a bad one for me anyway. And for me, anxiety attacks can last hours, and it's really uncomfortable and it feels rubbish and whatever. And so very, very rarely I will cave and take additional medication to just see me through. And unusually, it didn't work for me that time, and when it would normally really help. So I ended up ringing a friend and telling him all about this crazy story that blew up on TikTok about a woman who married a pathological liar. And it's a true story, and it was this whole series on TikTok that went on for like 500 minutes, and it became an entire like iconic moment in social media history. I honestly, the amount of passion I could talk about this entire subject is crazy. But anyway, wow. I started telling him about it. Honestly, I've sold this story so well to so many people, and I swear to God, it worked better than the medication that I took earlier in the day. So this just goes to show you how powerful distractions and social interactions can be in those really acute moments. So it's just something to bear in mind when you're thinking, oh, this is not going to make an iota of difference. It really can.
Wow. You need to tell me about this one.
Yeah, I will absolutely. I have
no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Say goodbye to 500 minutes of your life, Denise.
I've been living under a rock, and that clearly. And I do love true crime and mystery, so that's going to be right up my alley. Anyway, before we wrap this episode, I just wanted to say two more things. Exercise. Doesn't matter what type of exercise. It can just be walking up the stairs. It can be Pilates. It can be yoga. It can be high-intensity interval training. Whatever it is, as long as you move that body, just move it. The body. That will definitely help with stress. And I told you about the good sleep habits. And the other one I'm going to say is progressive muscle relaxation. These are techniques that you can use with or without hypnosis. Also, hypnosis recordings can be very, very helpful in managing stress. This is what I do on a daily basis. I think in terms of interest of time, I don't have time to go into each of the different hypnotherapy practices that would help you lower the stress. I would just like you to open your mind and put it into a search engine, and then your mind will be officially blown, because you will come across a lot of research.
And one thing to add to another personal is the right word. Sorry. Another personal anecdote that I have, you know, as someone who was a meditation skeptic moons ago.
Meditation.
Well, I put it kind of in the realms of hypnosis a little bit, and I'll explain why. But basically, like, I once had a really stressful job that wasn't in a corporate environment, actually. And there was luckily a meditation studio very close to where I worked. And so sometimes I would go there after work in order to relax. And sometimes I would turn up to the studio so anxious I couldn't even sit down. Like, I would feel like the need to pace, which is something that I do when I'm very anxious. And I would just about manage to use the last strength I had to like lie down on a mat and start following the breathing. And I would completely lose where I was in the world. Like, I would just wake up. Well, not wake up, but like, I would come round, whatever the road is, and just be like, oh wow, I feel so much better. So it's another personal anecdote to be like, as someone who was a skeptic who just surrendered to the process and went along with it, it can make a huge difference. And I've been lucky enough to experience that to some extent with a little bit of hypnosis support that Denise has given me in the past as well.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, it definitely helps a lot reduce stress. It helps improve the variability between the on and off switch that we were talking about with the nervous system. Look, I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. We self-hypnotize ourselves with the stories we say to ourselves each and every day. How about we change the bloody story? How about you focus on what brings you more joy and happiness rather than, oh my God, I hate my job. It's a matter of that. You do self-hypnosis every day without calling it that or knowing that you're doing it. So all I'm saying is open your mind, you dear listener, and try to change that narrative and that story into a positive one, or not positive, into a helpful one, into something that can actually help you feel better, work better, and be your best. We all want to be our best. That's all we want to do.
Exactly.
On that note, I hope you take some learnings from today, and I hope you will learn from our personal experiences with burnout, and that you will be much smarter than we have been, and you are going to listen.
If your body tells you something is wrong, the body never lies.
It knows. It knows.
Yes. So, thank you so much for listening to our episode today. And we are going to love you and leave you. And as always, we are welcoming any feedback, any comments, any likes or shares, anything and everything. We are happy to hear from you. If you would like to have anything in specific as a request to our upcoming season, drop us a note. We are happy to take those and tackle whatever subject we may not have tackled so far.
Yep. And please remember to give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, share us with anyone who might be interested in listening or benefit from our episodes. We just want to get out and help as many people as we possibly can. And so with that, you can find us on any platform from which you get your podcasts. And you can find us on our social, on our joint page as part of the podcast, and on our individual page. Denise and I come as a package. We can work with you individually as well. If that's of interest to you, just reach out to us and we will be happy to support you in any way we can. And with that, until the next time, we're going to love you and leave you. And we hope you enjoyed the show. Take care. Bye. Bye.